Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap Today country. And we are delighted to have you with us. And, of course, I am Gary Dahl, and along with me is Sam Rohr, the president of the American Pastors Network, and Dave Kistler, the president of the North Carolina Pastors Network. And this is the end of the first week of Stand in the Gap Today. And we're very, very thankful for the opportunity that we've had to be with you this week. And we are looking forward to many weeks to come. And if you have liked this program, as you've heard it throughout the course of this week, please inform others. Let them know that we are here every day at this same time on this same radio station with this particular program that deals with the issues of the day from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. We've said several times throughout the course of this week that this is the kind of a program that America needs, and we believe that. And it's not because of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. It's simply because of the fact that we present information in such a vein that no one else really does. And so we're delighted to have you there, and we ask you to pray for us. Today, we are beginning a new feature. It's called Phone In Friday. Phone In Friday. And what that means is on Friday, we're going to give you the opportunity to call in and ask us any question you want about any issue in our country as it relates to the Constitution, as it relates to the Bible. Maybe there's something that we talked about two or three days earlier and you had some questions on it and you did not get your answers. Well, give us a call. Or maybe it's something that has just come to your mind or something that you've wondered about for quite some time and you want one of us to help you understand it just a little bit more. You're welcome to call. And this will be only on Fridays for the time being. I'm going to give you the phone number to which you may call. There's two of them. There's a local phone number for those of you who would be in the greater Philadelphia, King of Prussia area. And then there are others who are listening across the state and across the nation. It's a toll-free number. And I would encourage you to write it down, though we will be giving these numbers to you on a regular basis. But we invite you to call in. And we may be talking about a particular subject, but your phone call does not have to relate to that subject. Understand, we've got the right to accept or reject any call that comes in. And what happens when you call the numbers I'm going to give you in a moment, there will be someone who will answer that particular phone, your call, and they'll ask for your name, they'll ask for your location, and the subject to which you want to address. And when you do that, why, they'll put you on hold. You will be able to hear us on the radio program, but then, of course, at the particular time in which we want to take your call, we'll bring you up on the board. So we invite you to do that. We invite you to speak to us, and this could be a very, very fun time every Friday on what we're calling Phone In Friday. Now, those numbers are as follows. The local number in the Philadelphia King of Prussia area is 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK or 8255. 610-539-8255. For those of you who are outside the general Philadelphia King of Prussia area, the number is a toll-free number. And that would be 1-877-667-1180. Of course, 1180 is the frequency of the anchor station of our program here in the King of Prussia area. And so that number, again, is 1-877-667-1180. I'll give you those numbers again, and you might want to write them down in the event that you want to use them. The local number for the King of Prussia, Philadelphia area is 610-539-8255, 610-539-8255, and the toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. And we would be delighted to hear from you, no matter what your question, no matter what your thought may be. We would love to hear from you. Who will be the first caller in to stand in the gap today? Well, Dave and Sam, we are in working toward a sort of a patriotic weekend. As a matter of fact, this weekend that we are coming up on now is referred to as Patriots Day, particularly as we look at the 19th of April, because April 19th, 1775, 240 years ago, was when Paul Revere took his ride across the Boston area, and, of course, is when the Battle of Lexington took place. I guess Paul Revere's ride actually went from the 18th of April into the 19th of April, and it was quite a ride. Most of the people today think that Paul Revere took that ride simply to tell the whole city of Boston that that the British were coming. But that's not really the reason why he took that particular ride. He took that ride because the British were trying to get a preacher by the name of Reverend Jonas Clark. And Clark was the pastor of a church in Lexington, Massachusetts. And since the struggle over the Stamp Act in 1765, this pastor, and this is interesting to me, Sam and Dave, this pastor became Lexington's principal leader in its town meetings and issues of liberty and government. As a matter of fact, almost every crucial state paper written to represent Lexington was authored by Pastor Jonas Clark. And his home was a frequent meeting place for men like Sam Adams and John Hancock when safe locations could not be assured inside Boston. And so, you know, the British wanted to get a hold of Jonas Clark and Sam Adams and John Hancock. And so when they were coming in through the Boston Harbor, it was Paul Revere who was on his horse going to their home saying, "The British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming." And it's interesting that the Pastor Jonas Clark and the others heard that the British were coming, that one of Clark's house guests asked him on the night, on that particular night, if the Lexington people would fight if necessary. And Sam, I found this interesting that Clark, who of course had laid a solid foundation concerning the duty of self-defense of inalienable rights for years through his sermons, responded to the person who asked the question, "Are the people of Lexington ready?" He said, "I have trained them for this very hour." And of course, the fact of the matter is that Clark prepared his people so well in the scriptures as they related to the issues of the day that when the battle began, actually the shot that was heard around the world, that particular shot took place right in the lawn of a church there in Lexington. In other words, the Christians are the ones who went to fight first to stand for liberty. We're going to be talking more about this when we come back. And Sam, I'll be interested to hear your response to what I've just said. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to call 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. I'm Gary Dull. We'll be back with more right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, April 17, 1790, the son of a poor candlemaker died. He was 15th of 17 children, became a printer, and published a popular almanac. Retiring at 42, he taught himself five languages, invented the rocking chair, bifocal glasses, and the lightning rod, which earned him degrees from Harvard and Yale. He helped found the University of Pennsylvania, a hospital, America's first postal system, and fire department. As the governor of Pennsylvania, he signed the Declaration, called for prayer at the Constitutional Convention, and was president of the first anti-slavery society. His name, Ben Franklin.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Randall Wanger, Chief Counsel of the Independence Law Center, with today's Family Update. I'm sure you know the phrase, ideas have consequences. Well, laws have consequences too, and quite often they're not what lawmakers intended. This week, Governor Tom Wolf tweeted support for House Bill 300, a measure to grant special status to LGBT Pennsylvanians. But as we've seen elsewhere, such laws, pitched as encouraging tolerance, actually result in extreme intolerance, as folks like wedding cake bakers, photographers, and others are being fined, punished, and even sentenced to government retraining, simply for acting upon their conviction that marriage is between a man and a woman. Pennsylvania is already a tolerant state. We don't need laws like House Bill 300 that, while well-intentioned, don't allow room for differences in belief.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back. On behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull, and we welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today, and we are starting a new feature entitled Phone In Friday. And every Friday, you will have the opportunity to phone in your questions or thoughts that you want to share with us. The local number in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. Or the toll-free number outside the Philadelphia area is 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. And we are talking about the fact that 240 years ago this coming Sunday is when the Battle of Lexington began up in the Lexington, Massachusetts area, where the shot that rang around the world was heard. And I mentioned that many times when we think of Paul Revere's ride, we're just thinking of the fact that he was riding throughout the Boston area to tell people the British were coming. But he particularly was going to the home of Reverend Jonas Clark, simply because of the fact that this pastor was standing up for liberty, and he trained his congregation, the men of his congregation, to fight. And, of course, the British didn't like that. It was, of course, true that John Adams and Sam Adams and John Hancock actually would stay at Jonas Clark's home from time to time. And they happened to be there the night that the British came. And history tells us that Adams and Hancock, as the soldiers made their appearance, were persuaded to retire to the neighboring town of Woburn, Massachusetts, so that they might be protected there. And as they were going there, when the daylight appeared, it was Adams who really felt his soul swell with uncontrollable joy. And in the process of that, he shouted, "Oh, what a glorious morning this is." The question is, why did he shout that? Well, simply because of the fact that 1 month before that, the governor of Connecticut, Jonathan Trumbull, called for a day of prayer and fasting. Actually, it was officially called the day of public fasting and prayer, that God would graciously pour out his Holy Spirit on us to bring us to a thorough repentance and effectual reformation. That day of public fasting and prayer was called for the 19th of April, 1 month before it actually took place, which seemingly indicates that God was in control in bringing all this together, and that is why Adam said, "Oh, what a glorious morning this is." Now, Sam Rohr, there's a lot that we could say about this. I just have been trying to lay the foundation for it. Let me ask you this question, and that is, well, I've got one for you, and then I've got one for Brother Dave. Sam, when we look back in the history of the United States of America, way back to the Revolutionary War and before that, we find that God's hand of providence was on how this nation came together. This is just one little illustration of that. But there is no doubt about it, but that God worked to bring this nation together as we know it today. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, he absolutely did. From the very moment that the pilgrims set foot on the ground, and then just a few years later in 1636 when the Puritans came, their entire intent from the beginning was far different than the others who touched foot on this continent years before, who primarily came for gold and silver. These individuals came to worship God. They came with an intent to evangelize the Native Americans. They came with the intent of the ability to see freedom begun anew, with the intent that they would be able to raise their children. That's what the pilgrims said, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And they left England, and actually where they were kicked out of England, the pilgrims came over. They came because they thought they were losing their children to the culture. They came for very specific reasons, and with them, the pastors led the way when they came. And pastors led the way all the way through, to the point where, even in the Governor Bradford, where he said that his prayer, he prayed that this nation would become a shining city on a hill, that the world would look and would see what God could do to a nation that would put him first. William Penn came along, 1682, frame of government, Pennsylvania, and laid out and prayed that this would become a holy experiment. Holy because it had never been done before, and knew it had to be submitted to God, an experiment because experiment of self-government hadn't been happened before. All of these worked themselves together that led up to now this day that we are celebrating. And Gary, you mentioned the governor Jonathan Trumbull. Yesterday on this program, we were talking about, the governor of Tennessee, deliberating and say he thought it would be inappropriate for him to sign potential legislation recognizing the Bible as the official the book of greatest honor in the state of Tennessee. Here is this governor here who said, prayed that for a, asked for a public day of fasting and prayer, that God would graciously pour out his Holy Spirit on us to a thorough repentance and effectual reformation. You know, there is no question that that anyone who looks at this country would see that both those who were in government, not all, but so many, cooperating with and walking alongside what the pastors were preaching from the pulpit relative to freedom and government and the role of government and the purpose of law, worked together, and they prayed for what ultimately happened on this day, April 19th. And it is not a wonder that they said a new day has come. It's amazing that we would look at that, or we'd look back and say, what? You mean can you tell me really that a shot that was fired, heard around the world, is something that we're praying for? They were praying for freedom. And the point here, Gary, that you were, I think, asking for is they were committed to biblical truth. They knew that God's hand had to be involved, but they had also laid the foundation so that when they prayed, they really, truly believed and expected that God would hear their prayer and answer it. And, of course, we're sitting here today knowing that God did.
Well, he did. And, David, I want to come to you in a moment, but I would like to read that entire statement that Governor Jonathan Trumbull of Connecticut wrote. He said this. He called for a day of public fasting and prayer that God would graciously pour out his Holy Spirit on us to bring us to a thorough repentance and effectual reformation, that he would restore, preserve, and secure the liberties of this and all the other American colonies and make this land a mountain of holiness and habitation of righteousness forever. That God would preserve and confirm the union of the colonies in the pursuit and practice of that religion and virtue which will honor him. End quote. That, of course, is the public statement that was rendered on March the 22nd, 1775, by Governor Jonathan Trumbull of Connecticut. And Dave Kistler, that was quite a statement, you know, just right off the cuff here. Wouldn't it be amazing if a governor of a state would make a statement like that today? But the question is, that I have for you, is what kind of a difference would we see in this nation if we had pastors who would follow the direction of Reverend Jonas Clark that I've been talking about up there in New England? Would we see a change for truth and righteousness in this nation?
Well, you know, Gary, we would see a dramatic change in this nation if we had that kind of leadership. And the fact of the matter is this, all throughout America's history, there have been, from our elected officials, these periodic calls for repentance, for prayer, for national prayer. Abraham Lincoln was one that issued many of those throughout his time as president of the United States. There are others who did the same thing. And so this idea that God is somehow to be divorced from government is not only incorrect, it is the exact opposite of what happened in the early days of this country. And so, yeah, Gary, if we had leaders like that, whether it be a state governor of a state, whether it be the president of the United States, the effect could be dramatic. And if I might cite this, and of course you men know, excuse me, that I am a great lover of former President Ronald Reagan. But Reagan was a man who understood these things. In fact, the phrase "city on a hill" that he used so frequently is one that has been quoted already, Gary, by you several times this morning. So Reagan knew Winthrop's statement. He understood the history of this country, and so he referred to America as that shining city on a hill. And if we're ever going to become that again, if we're ever going to be the world leader, not just economically, but a world leader in the area of righteousness, it's going to take those kind of leaders, that kind of leader, that kind of president, once again, in the United States of America. And tragically, gentlemen, though we have a lot of people's names now beginning to surface as men and women that are going to run for the president, only a limited number of them fit the qualifications that we're talking about, the biblical qualification for leadership. That's what we need.
Well, that's what we need. And would it be true that the United States of America was a land, a mountain of holiness, and habitation of righteousness forever? Certainly, those of us who are alive today have a responsibility to work toward that. If you wish to call us, the toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. Or in the Philadelphia area, the local number is 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. I'm Gary Dahl. We'll be back with more of Stand in the Gap today after these messages. Stay tuned.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said know that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We are delighted to be with you once again on this Friday. And today, here on our brand new program called Stand in the Gap Today, we are beginning a new feature called Phone In Friday, where you can call in your questions or comments. You can talk about what we are talking about, or maybe something else has come to your mind that you have a question about. And those numbers are as follows. Toll free, 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Or the local number in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. And, of course, we've been talking about the fact that coming up on Sunday is the 240th anniversary of the Battle of Lexington that started the Revolutionary War. And it's, you know, we've been learning things today that we really aren't taught in school. And it was the fact that when Paul Revere took his historic ride, he wasn't just riding to tell people that the British were coming. He was going to the home of Reverend Jonas Clark, because Jonas Clark was preparing his congregation for the coming of the British, and the British were after him. So it was quite an interesting situation. We do want to take a call from Mac, who's in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Mac, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Oh, what a praise the Lord, and what a program, and to fire the first shot as far as a call for freedom and for pastors to stand up. I just wanted to say I've been mentioning this subject in my churches and with other ministers. I go to a little Spanish Baptist church in Coatesville. How you know, if the president does something wrong, it's wrong. There's no, you know, and then tying that in with Romans 13, authorities and the supreme document of this country is the Constitution. So if the president or anybody in office is going against it, then by God's standards, they're wrong. And I'm so glad for this program giving me an opportunity to speak up for this. It's I was in the Navy for 20 years, 5 tours in the Persian Gulf, and got up close and personal with the SEALs early in my career, and when I was down in Puerto Rico during the Machtara terrorist reign, and so defending that freedom, it's just great that you have a program like this. But I find that a lot of our pastors are just dropping the ball. They're not teaching this stuff in churches. They're not holding the leaders to accountable, and they don't want to engage. And some of them aren't with it as far as politics. And there's a world out there, and they need to know what's going on. And I've often thought of I've been thinking about a message called the Christian, like I said, the Christian in politics. And if you go from all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way into the New Testament, you can see where, you know, God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, who was an unsaved person. Joseph of Arimathea, in the old version of the Spanish Bible, which is older than the King James, said he was a senator, and he boldly demanded the body of Christ. And then you have Nathan going to David, and preachers just don't want to deal with it anymore. And I just wanted to give that shout out for men of God to make their stand and to give you guys your kudos and props to keep up the good work.
Well, first of all, Mac, let me say thank you for your phone call, and also thank you for the service that you've rendered for the United States of America in the Navy. I want to tell you, every time I see a serviceman or woman out on the street, I go up to them and say thank you for your service. And so I just want to thank you for what you've done to maintain the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. But picking up on what you said there, that there are those pastors today who don't educate their congregation, like, for instance, Pastor Jonas Park did, or maybe like you're doing as well. It is true that many pastors don't do that today, and they've got various reasons. And I want to go to Sam, because, Sam Rohr, you've been involved with both pastors as well as those in government. What is the issue? Why is it that pastors seem to be silent on this today, and maybe even more than silent, they run away from it?
Well, Gary, there are, you know, really, there are about 7 reasons. I'm not going to go into all of them right now, but there are very clear reasons, beginning in some cases, with, it's fear. It's fearful. To speak about matters of the day, to apply biblical principles to issues of the day, means that it's a little bit more than just properly, from a biblical perspective, exegeting a passage. Applying it, which is what needs to be done, gets a little controversial sometimes. Pastors don't want to engage controversy with the audience. In many cases, pastors believe, in fact, that they can't speak about anything that they hear on the radio, lest it be construed political, and they may lose their 501c3 status. That's also not true. But also, we know, Gary, that many pastors don't know about the role of pastors, of which we're talking about in this program. Jonas Clark and others at the beginning of our country don't really know that pastors have historically played a key role in applying biblical principles and helping to lay the foundation for what has become this this nation. That they're all, I must also say, there are many Bible colleges and seminaries that do not teach that when that pastor should preach what we would say would be the whole counsel of God, meaning that they've got to apply the principles of Scripture, not just to the individual, not just to the family, and not just within the church, but also within civil government, Romans 13, because God created a number of reasons, Gary. But if I could put in here, there may be folks listening who may not have heard about the U-Turn conference that the Pennsylvania Pastors Network held at Lancaster Bible College just a couple weeks ago. We dealt effectively with all of these issues, the prominence of the role of the pastor, why they needed to speak, and we had guys like David Barton, you know, from Wall Builders, and George Barnum with the information. Those series of videos can be ordered online by going to the AmericanPastorsNetwork.net website, and they can order, and if they get that information, I assure you, anyone who listens to them and watches them will understand, as we heard from pastors who were there who said, I heard things I never heard before. My life has been transformed. And, of course, that's partly what this broadcast is about. Tell the truth, biblical constitutional perspective. It does transform lives. And as Max said so accurately, when pastors stand up and speak, they speak with authority. It makes a difference, Gary.
Well, it does, and we have a caller we want to go to, but just very, very briefly, David Kistler, you are a traveling evangelist. Do you find that more and more there are pastors who are starting to speak out on these issues across the nation today?
Gary, I am beyond encouraged by what I'm seeing, and I want to just say this to Mac. Wow, thank you for your comments, and thank you for your stand for righteousness. There's nothing I love more than a man who served in the military who's now serving in the Army of the Lord, and Mac is done and is doing both. But yes, Gary, I am. I'm seeing an awareness, a keen awareness on the part of pastors with whom I am privileged to minister, and I'm with some of the best in the nation. So yes, I am, and it's beyond encouraging. My brother says it this way sometimes. Dave, I hope we haven't waited too long for pastors to let the blinders be taken off their eyes and start speaking up. I don't think we've waited too long at all. But yes, Gary, it's very, very encouraging.
All right. We want to go to Faith, who is in Pottstown. Faith, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Oh, you're welcome. My question is, does it profit us to cooperate with those who are known to have opposing philosophies and goals, such as members of the CFR? Do we scrutinize enough when a person claims to have the same goals, but, you know, do we look into their backgrounds enough, or are we too scrutinizing?
That's a very good question. And, Sam, would you like to answer that question for Faith, please?
Yeah, I sure would. Yeah, I think it's a good question. And for this reason, you know, I think the real heart of what you were asking was, do we look sufficiently, or perhaps do we look too far? That's a prudent question. I think more often than not, we tend not to look in the right places. We can get caught up measuring a lot of things about the qualifications of a candidate. But one of the things we want to do at the American Pastors Network, and we'll be doing and we'll be hearing things more about this coming out later, is identifying and raising the biblical standard for the qualifications and begin to ask the types of questions about candidates relative to the things that of interest to God. For instance, if we look at what God measures about an individual, we will try to look at their heart. Now, that's hard to do, but we can see evidences that come out of that. For instance, matters of character, trustworthiness, honesty, whether or not they know what justice is and can manifest it. Do they have righteous anger, meaning do they get angry about the right things? Those kinds of things. If we measure them properly, then, in fact, we can change the debate. And so you were asking questions. I think that we're looking scrutinizing why, but we're not asking the right questions. Ask the biblical qualification questions, which we're going to lay out more on this program. Then we can know the real measure of a man.
Thank you, Faith, for your phone call. We appreciate that very much. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call Phone In Friday on Stand in the Gap today. And our call number is 1-877-667-1180. That's the toll-free number. Or 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255 in the greater Philadelphia area. Certainly, we've got to come to the point in the United States of America where we understand that this nation was founded on biblical principles, that the Constitution of the United States was based upon the foundation of the Word of God. That can be proven. And because of that, those of us who are Christians and those of us who are biblical-based pastors must stand for the truth in every situation of life as it comes our way. We'll talk more about that. You are listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Gary Dahl. We'll be back right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's prime minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
I have unfortunately met so many people that allow difficult circumstances in their life to convince them that God has forgotten them. That's exactly what the enemy would want us to believe. I love the verse in Isaiah 65, verse 24, that before they call, I will answer, and while they were still speaking, I will hear. Listen, don't get caught up in the idea that God's promised nothing but prosperity for those who believe in Him. We will have trials, but He does hear us, and He will be there with us as we go through that trial.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Psalm 91:2 says, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." The psalmist could say with confidence that in times of trouble, when nothing else could work, the Lord was his refuge, his protected hiding place to which he could go to find security and strength. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As the circumstances around us become more uncertain, our freedoms attacked, and we as Christians increasingly find ourselves second-class citizens in our own nation, we may fear and our flesh may fail. Yet these are the exact times when, as King David said, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress." No man and no government can ever guarantee the protection and safety that God alone provides to those who trust in Him. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, is your personal peace and strength in Jehovah God? Can you say with the psalmist, "O Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress"?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Phone In Friday. You are welcome to call in any question or comment that you have at 1-877-667-1180 or locally in the Philadelphia area, 1-610-539-TALK. That's 539-8255. And we go all the way to Altoona, Pennsylvania. And Guy, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure as always. And my question is, I was at the U-Turn conference, and with the election coming up next year, I think it's an important time for Christians as we try to get the country back to biblical values with the outcome of next year's election. And I'm just wondering how you gentlemen feel about how we go about doing that and getting the message out to the people that we need a president who knows what values are for the country, particularly biblical values.
That's a very excellent question, Guy. And Dave, could you answer that question for him, please?
Well, Guy, thank you so much for your question. It's an outstanding question. It goes to the heart, really, of what is the major concern to Christians all across this nation, and that is, how can we get the kind of leader that we need in this country to pull us back from what will be ultimately by 2016, 8 years of unprecedented venture into unconstitutional actions on the part of the current president, a rejection of biblical truth that perhaps, gentlemen, is unprecedented in the history of the United States. And again, it goes back to what Sam Rohr was talking about earlier. Gary, we've got to talk about the biblical qualifications for leadership. The question that Faith asked was an outstanding one. Do we look too deep? Do we not look deep enough? I think for the most part, as Sam was saying, I agree completely. We don't look deep enough. If I could cite this, in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 1, Nebuchadnezzar was looking for young men that he had taken from the land of Israel, brought back to Babylon, that could serve in his kingdom. And he put the emphasis on all the things that contemporary culture places the emphasis on, and that is external appearance, children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, their aptitude, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, their mental ability. All those things were the things that Nebuchadnezzar placed the emphasis on. And I'm not saying that those things don't play a part, but if you look through the rest of the book of Daniel, the emphasis that God placed on his leaders were not the external things. They weren't the physical appearance. They weren't the mental ability. They weren't the aptitude issues. They were things like character, courage, the willingness to stand alone and stand up against the onslaught of wickedness of the day, the willingness to be able to stand alone even if no one else would stand with you and if it cost you your life. And we saw three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them. Daniel was also part of that group, four ultimately, that stood up and rose to the top. And God blessed them and put them in positions of high authority, not just in one administration, but through several other administrations that followed. But they were the inner heart issues, as Sam called them earlier, the core issues of character, conviction, and those things. And so we're going to have to start looking at our candidates much deeper than the surface. Do they look good in a suit? Are they articulate and can they speak well? Not against any of that, but the issues of character and courage, conviction, and all of that are the issues that will make a great leader.
Okay, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Guy, for that call. Sam, I want to ask you, you know, it seems like in this last 6 years, and particularly in this administration, that truth has run awry in so many areas, not just in the White House, but in the Capitol, and we've even seen some issues over there in the Supreme Court. How long do you think it will take if we get a man in Washington, in the White House in 2016, who's solidly based upon the wonderful word of God? And that could possibly happen with the men who we see that are out there running right now. How long will it take for that truth that will be prevailed from the White House to actually make a difference in this country? Can we expect something to happen rapidly, or will it take a long period of time? And what must we as citizens do to support that message of truth?
Well, Gary, would it help? Absolutely, it would help, because it would set a tone. All of us who, are on this broadcast today, and those who are listening, if they've been alive long enough to recall, for instance, what we felt in our hearts as we listened to presidents of the past speak publicly, when they got to the White House, to the Rose Garden, or when they made the State of the Union address, I mean, there was a distinctive difference in the heart of those who hold to truth and freedom when a Ronald Reagan spoke, as an example, as compared to our current president. Now, why is that? Well, because how they view God, how they view truth, is all the difference in the world. And that is the difference. So we know that when someone is in a position of authority where they have the bully pulpit and they speak truth, it is of great encouragement to all of those who want to do right. It's not an encouragement to those who don't want to do wrong, but it's encouragement to those who want to do right. That is a start, but we need to understand that if God is going to change our nation and he's going to do those kinds of things that are going to make us once again swing back towards an allegiance to him and a respect and fear of God, it's going to take some time and it's going to have to come from the people. You will not and you cannot have a president, though good though he may be, make a change of such a nature that it changes people's hearts. I believe, really fundamentally, that God raises up and puts into power those who are a reflection of the people. So what do we do as we listen? We need to be thinking in our own heart and say, are we right before God? What are we doing in our lives that are caused sin, that are causing us to embrace idolatry and things that put other things ahead of God? We've got to do that personally. Our pastors must lead the way by preaching from the pulpit. These things coming to God together, perhaps God, in fact, will raise us up a leader or leaders who will also speak righteousness. It's not accidental. And they come together, but I think it really starts in the heart of the people, and then it moves up more than it starts at the top and is forced down.
Gary, if I could interject this very quickly. In 2 Kings 23, an 8-year-old boy became king in Israel. His name was Josiah, and he came onto the throne at the worst possible time in the nation of Israel. They needed reform, revival. And his name in and of itself is very, very interesting. Josiah, supported of Jehovah. And what we need is we need a president who God approves of. He has those leadership characteristics that God approves of, and he lives a life of character and integrity and has the support and approval of Almighty God. It's amazing what an 8-year-old king did. He's often called the reforming or the reviving king. And I agree with everything Sam said. I think in 1980, we got a president in the United States of America who was a reforming or reviving president in the form of Ronald Reagan. Can that happen again in America? It most certainly can. And if we get a president, a leader that has God's approval, stamp of approval on him, then America can begin to change dramatically.
Well, it can. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to encourage you to continue to listen to Stand in the Gap today on this radio station at this same time, Monday through Friday. And as we get closer and closer to the presidential election, we are going to be talking much more about the quality and the character of those who are running. Because as Christians and as pastors, we want to make a difference, a big difference, in the 2016 election to get a man of God back into the White House. Thank you for joining us this week on Stand in the Gap today. Lord willing, we will be back Monday at this same time on this same station. This is Gary Dahl on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Warren. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
From the Jeffersonville Golf Club.
Jeffersonville Golf Club.
Yeah, they put a radio station on a golf course.
This is AM 1180.
WFYL.
WFYL.